Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. For those of you that are new to us today, I'm jumping for joy to welcome you. And for those of you who have been devoted listeners, big hugs, big kisses, and you're going to love today's episode about creating the life you want, designing the life you want, and navigating change and how to do that. I have with me my esteemed colleague and great friend, Jenny Stevens. Jenny, welcome to the podcast. Jenny is a licensed clinical counselor, and now she's a personal, professional, and a divorce coach, and she is amazing. Jenny, I'm so glad you're here.
What a great intro. I'm so excited to finally be here.
So let's set the stage here. We both live in Chicago. So my friend, our common friend, Beth McCormick, said to me, I have a friend who is amazing and you guys should meet. And this was 2021? Mm-hmm. Was it 2021?
Yes. Yeah, December of 21.
December of 2021. So Jenny decides to host a dinner for basically three unknown strangers and our common friend Beth in her home. And I come to realize she has been dating. She's familiar with smart dating. So tell us your story. Tell us what happened.
Well, I had heard about your smart dating, and in full transparency, I thought I didn't need you. I thought, oh, I know what I'm doing. I had been dating for about 2 years after my divorce and having a really good time. I, you know, thought dating was kind of like a sport. I was like, I'm good at this. I can talk to anybody. But I had not found somebody that I was, you know, as you would say, I had not found my lid to my pot. And so when I met you, what I was intrigued about is that prom date analogy. Like, why am I looking for this like thing on paper that might not translate into any elevator person in my life? So I was intrigued by that concept. And I was equally intrigued by, because we became friends so quickly, I was like, well, will you look at my profile, look at my pictures. And two things, you gave me some feedback and I was like, you do it. And I did it. And,
did I tell you you needed new pictures and a new profile?
She said, you need a new picture. You need to do this and this and this. And so I did it. I leaned in and I did it. But the interesting part was I was going to stop dating and take a little break a week or so later. And so I had updated my profile thanks to you and then decided to have two more phone dates. And the last phone date that I had happens to be my lid to my pot. And, you know, 2.5 years later, engaged. And
Such a great guy.
I do give you credit for having me change the way I looked at profiles and also the way to look at, you know, this, you don't have to date this prom date and this person that's a certain so-and-so on paper. So thank you for helping me find my lid.
Oh my gosh. Well, my absolute pleasure, and a great lid he is. And Jenny, if you don't mind, from that point on, life dealt you a couple of punches. So tell us the change that you've navigated personally, professionally, like you've walked through the tunnel of fire.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll start by saying I got a divorce about 6 years ago. And when I went through my divorce, I vowed to myself and promised myself that my divorce would not be the worst thing that ever happened to me nor my daughters. And so that set me on a journey of focusing on not having to be the worst thing. And, you know, as I said, I went through my divorce and I dated for a couple of years and ultimately met my lid. And about 3 months later, sadly, my ex-husband died suddenly and was a single parent very, very quickly and dealing with the loss of my ex-husband and my daughter's father. And again, sadly, or sort of like crazy, like 2 weeks later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And then about 3 months later, my mother passed away. So I had this like tsunami of change happen to me very quickly. And I say this not so you feel sorry for me, listeners, but to say that don't wait for something to happen to you, like getting cancer or going through a divorce or losing someone you love unexpectedly or even expectedly, to do the things that you want to do and show up differently in life. And don't wait for it. So I think that's my driving force in terms of helping people navigate change. Our friend Susan has coined me the champion of change, because sometimes we do need a champion to believe in all the things that you can do. And I just help people remind people that they have it in them. And we believe so often in our friends and our family and our loved ones. And do we give the same reciprocity to our own belief about ourselves? And often we don't. And I learned the hard way.
Wow. You're amazing, like I said, and you're a beacon of positivity, and you're so generous with your spirit and your time, and you're beautiful to boot and a ton of fun. So it's all true. So let's talk about navigating change, you know, and you say you can design or redesign your life in three simple steps. Let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think sometimes we complicate matters. I think that we think there's some certain formula. Belle and I, you know, have talked about a lot of different things. Bella loves to have a formula and a procedure and a lot of intellectual information. And I conversely believe that things can be distilled to a few more simpler things, not to knock all of our overly intellectual, data-driven people. Bella's raising her hand. But I do truly believe that sometimes at the end of the day, we need to just go back down to the basics. And a simple three-step process would be, the first thing is to decide what you want. Like if you say to yourself, what do you want in 12 months versus 6 months versus 3 months? And write down those top three things and write them in your journal, say them out loud, and then pick the one thing you really, really, really want to work on. Because all too often, which we'll talk about in a minute, is that we spend our time in ineffective ways. And then 1 month goes by, and then 2 months go by and we've thought about what we wanted to do. And it could just be, I want to find love. It could be, I want to change jobs. A lot of times, 8 of 10 of my clients will say to me, I just want to feel inner peace, or I want to feel good in my body. I want to feel like a better mom or a better partner. So it could just be something not generic. Yeah, something as generic as that. So I say, choose the top three things that you want. And then, do you want me to go to the second one, Bella?
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, keep going. And then the second piece is to audit your time. So to look at how you spend your time. What are you doing when you wake up to when you go to bed? And keep a diary of that for at least 7 days. And then from that information, create a start doing list. Like, what do you want to start doing to help you feel better and actually do the things that you really want to do? And then I want you to have a stop doing list. I know, again, most of my clients, when I walk them through these exercises, most of them will say, I want to stop scrolling. I want to stop snoozing. I want to drink less alcohol. I want to eat a little better. I want to maybe not hang around this person, or I want to, they want to have more fun. So the auditing your time, the start doing and the stop doing are really, really, really important. And the last piece and the last step, in my opinion, because I've been through so much and I have practiced this daily for decades, is our mindset. We have to change and choose thoughts that serve us, because a lot of times we have thoughts and a story that really is just not true. And it can be so irrational, right? Like, I can't have it all, or I can't find love. Like, I mean, I will fully tell you that I didn't think that I was going to find love and that it would never happen, or I had to do all of these things before I found it. And so I really, really implore that we look at the way, look at the thoughts that we tell ourselves, and then change those thoughts and repeat them daily, minute, hourly, all the time, because we can believe anything, that we can be anything. So I want you to really choose those thoughts wisely.
And I'll say this, I like this. You said audit your time, and let's say audit your thoughts. The majority 100%. Of the thoughts we have are either negative or untrue. And yet, because they flash through our minds, we assume that they're true.
That's
verify,
right.
Verify the veracity yes. of this thought. I will never find love. I will never be thin. I will never have fun again, right? Well, hold on. Who's telling you this? The crazy person in your brain that's trying to keep you safe, but it is really keeping you stuck.
You and we would never say those thoughts to our kids. We would never say those thoughts to our parents or our good friends. And it's such a subtle, simple shift. But when we actually put on paper and write out the thoughts that are limiting and that lack abundance, the opposite of any of our thought can be just as true. So I always like to think of thoughts as sort of like the weather or like static. Remember when TVs used to exist, it would be like the static that are, yes, right? Your thoughts are like the weather. They come and go. They come and go, but our thoughts, you can change the channel. You can choose and change any single thought that you have. But building awareness around your most dominant thoughts is absolutely key. They're not all that different. There's typically, if you were to write down your thousands of thoughts you have a day, I guarantee if you distilled the thoughts down to two or three, they would be very, very common. And actually, frankly, we all would have similar negative limiting beliefs. So it's our job to have the inverse of those or choose different thoughts, but it is a skill and a strategy to repeat those over and over and start believing those thoughts. Somebody tells us what to believe. Oh, you should have a multivitamin. You know what? You should have fruits and vegetables every day. You should get 8 hours of sleep. We believe all these things without even batting an eyelash. So why aren't we doing the same thing with our belief systems about ourselves? Why aren't we looking at our mindset saying, I should believe these things about myself because this is who I am?
That's great. And then taking those negative beliefs and reframing them for who you want to be. Is that what I hear?
It is. And also just not believing those beliefs, Bella, but also just having a little bit of humor about it, right? Like, we are so ridiculously stuck and attached to some of these stories of, can I really have it? I mean, I left a 20-year career as a high school counselor, and it was, I really, really love what I did. But for 5 or 6 years, I toyed with, should I stay or should I go? Can I really have my own company? Can I make it? Will I have insurance? And all of these things crept in my mind for years until one day I was like, I am going to do it. I'm going to jump off the diving board. And another really important thing is to ask yourself, don't ask for votes. Don't tell people when you are really guided and you are listening to your intuition and your inner guidance. If you ask a lot of people whether you should or shouldn't do it, you will get a wildly array of opinion. And if you know in your own truth what that is, I say follow it and then tell people what you're doing. It's like if you have a baby, it's like if you tell somebody, oh, should I name him Liza or Brooke? Well, someone's going to say, oh, well, Liza's this and you should name her Brooke. Don't ask. So decide what you're going to do and do it. You know what I mean? Like, do it. Like, why are we waiting for somebody to give us permission? You know, we're not young again. We're not young.
No. And it's funny. It brings to mind the same thing I tell my clients when they're dating someone new and they have us enlisted as coaches, right? And the first thing that they want to do is, well, I want my friends to meet him to see what they think. And I'm like, no. Your yeah. friends are going to look at this person as well-intentioned and as loving as they are to you. They're going to view your potential partner, number one, through scrutiny that may not be fair and through their own lenses.
That's
and
right.
So it's you know, smart daters, I tell people, one day you're going to surprise your friends and family and say, you guys, guess what? Here's my new boyfriend or my new girlfriend or my new partner. And then they'll go, oh my gosh, right? It's the analogy that you said was so true. Should I name them Liza? Should I name them Brooke? Everybody's going to give you their opinions. If you come out with the little baby wrapped in pink and you're like, this is Liza, nobody is going to say to you, what a crappy name. That's a dog's name, right? Exactly. Nobody's going to say that, right? But when you go out there soliciting people's opinions, you're going to get their opinions. And that keeps us stuck. Listen to yourself, number one. Listen to your own voice, your own guide. And if you need someone to help you jump off the diving board, then bring in someone that's actually going to get you up the ladder on the diving board and safely into a pool that has water. That's someone like Jenny. That's someone like in whatever area you need help with. But enlist help from people that are going to actually help you take those steps versus just entrusting your village, right? They want to help you. They don't always know how.
Yeah, and I mean, and you bring up a good point. And we are the combination of the five people we spend the most time with. So if we are the combination of the five people we spend the most time with, we ought to choose those people wisely. So sometimes those people are not folks that can lift us up or believe in our change. When we change internally, it's a pattern disruptor. So sometimes people who we love, they're well-intentioned, don't love us changing because we disrupt the common, we disrupt the status quo. But I would say those are the people who you might want to, you know, I'd not say like eliminate, but potentially choose differently. Because if you are changing and interrupting a pattern so you can show up differently and feel different and also make these leaps of faith, falling in love and having a boyfriend and being proud of the decisions you're making, you don't want to have people that don't support that. You want people, I think a lot of friendships and relationships that last are people who can support growth. And growth looks really different for me versus you. We have to be able to support a person's growth on their path, not what I think that they should do. We suffer because I want you to be differently. I want someone to, I was telling Bella before we jumped on, I've been out of town. And when I came in, the kitchen wasn't as clean as I wanted. It sounds so ridiculous. So judge me all you want. And I thought, oh my God, I'm really mad because I wanted someone to do it exactly the way I did it, but I was gone. Who am I to do that? So I checked myself.
And now side note and explanation, Jenny and her fiance, Sean, recently moved in together with four kids and two dogs. Is that right?
Yes.
Five kids total,
one's at college. Yes.
Okay. And so Jenny leaves on a trip and her fiance is home with four kids and two dogs and a house he's just moved into. And when you got home, the house wasn't, or the kitchen wasn't as clean. Like you didn't have the dog hair vacuumed up and you checked yourself. And what happened? What did you do?
Well, I realized that my monkey mind and ego mind just was, you know, being controlling. So one of the things that I watch myself on is like trying to control everything to make me, it's like I soothe myself, you know, I let type A, I want things a certain way. And I have this construct of how the house should be. So I had to go in and be like, stop that thought. Like all is well, look at what Sean did all weekend. Look how lovely the house is. It's not perfect, but guess what? He's at the grocery store. We're going to have a lovely family dinner and basically get over yourself. So I apologize. And I know it's just so silly, but like we've all been there. I mean, you don't have to have just moved in with your fiance and, you know, we've doubled the kids and doubled the dogs and doubled the, you know, good chaos to have those moments where you, oh, why didn't you clean up your room? Or why are you 5 minutes late? Or wait, the restaurant's not this restaurant. It's like, no. You know what? Yeah. It's like the minor little things, but I will say blending's been fun. I will go on record. Blending's been fun. It's all that and more.
Well, and remember guys, and especially women, right? Our brains skew towards this negativity bias, right? Because we always want to fix things and make things perfect. And your growing edge is knowing that and saying what's right in this situation.
What's right? You know what? That's exactly why Sean actually said that to me. Like, what are all the things that we're doing really well? And then it's just like you're like, oh yeah, I know, you're totally right. And I think also as women, is like, we're a lot of doers and we overcompensate for a lot of things. And I think the overcompensation and the over quote unquote doing all the things that we have to quote unquote do really it eliminates our ability to actually be in the moment and take a breath and just notice the good stuff in front of us, even just the gratitude. So if we're always doing something, we really can't be mindful. And I think also what my clients will tell me, you know, day after day, week after week, I want to just be more mindful. I want to take a breath. I don't want to be in such a hurry. I mean, do any of you ever feel like, why am I in such a hurry? You know, for what? So that's why I like when I say pick your three things and look at your day and plan your day and your week. And don't overschedule, because if you overschedule, we without a doubt can feel like we are failing, like we didn't get enough done. So there's a ton of research that shows, you know, you pick your five things to do and the three things that you must do, and then make appointments with yourself, you know, plug in the exercise, the sleep, your meals, your friendships, you're going for a walk. I play music all the time. I'm a big proponent of no matter what's going on, good or bad, if you play some music and have some killer playlist, your mood can totally lift. Another great hack is to go outside and take a walk. Another great hack is to call your friend like Bella and get a good laugh.
Absolutely. We've had plenty of good laughs on the phone.
Yeah. Yes.
I really like how you talked about, I'm just going to recap really quick before we move on. Decide what you want and then break those down. What do you want within 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months, right? And then look at, make a time log of yourself. If you're not getting what you want, and I could take this advice all day long and I need it, right? Audit your time. If you aren't moving in the direction of what you want, there's a reason. Where are you spending your time? And do you have tips, asking for a friend, on how do we break the scrolling on social media?
It's such a great question. I believe in the limits. You know, these smartphones are, you know, they can be, you know, good and bad. Put a limit on your social media. Bella, I think you tell your clients to limit the dating apps for 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night.
Totally.
So, right? Social media is absolutely no different. My limit, I think, is 15 minutes on Facebook and like 15 minutes on Instagram, because, and I will tell you, it works if you put a limit on it, because you'll then self-monitor before the time limit goes off. There's nothing that you can't see today that won't be there tomorrow. And it's actually lovely not to spend so much time on social media, and it's better for your hand. I got like, you know, like we're just like staring at these devices. So it's just, you know, I mean, you know, like nothing. I would be hard pressed if someone said to me, I feel so much better after spending 30 or 60 minutes on my phone, scrolling from Instagram to TikTok to Facebook to CNN to whatever other app you're on. And, you know, I think I'm a big proponent also of not having your phone on, like having it be silent. So then you are conscious about when you want to look at your phone. When can you respond to your texts? When can you look? So those two things, limits without a doubt. Just like we tell our kids, you know, you have a bedtime and you should take, you know, don't sleep with your devices, give me your phones by 8 or 9 o'clock, et cetera, et cetera. Do the same thing with yourself.
Okay, I'm committing today to figuring out, first of all, I've got to figure out how to set limits and like make it turn off. But I really love that idea, because you're right. I tell my clients with dating, I don't want notifications on your Bumble or your Hinge, because every time you see that, you're compelled to want to pick up the phone. I'm like, I don't want dating to feel like a job for you. So
that's right.
You control 15 minutes, set an alarm, 15 minutes in the evening, right? So I need to drink my own Kool-Aid with regards to the news and social media. And if I'm trying to do? What do I think I'm missing? Do I think I'm going to learn a new life hack? What is the point? Mm-hmm. What is the point, right? It's
We're addicted. You're addicted.
We're addicted.
I mean, like these apps are, they're made to be addictive. It's like Amazon shopping or going online and going shopping. You just do it. So again, it's a limit thing. It's a limit thing. It's and I promise you, you're going to feel differently. And it's not hard. It's like, again, let's not overthink this one. Again, it's like, okay, I'm going to decide. Like, you know, Mel Robbins is like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, do it. Like just decide.
Totally. It's funny.
Really, feels really good.
I coached a male client last night who's a physician. He's adorable. And he's like, you know, the apps are fine, but I want to get better at making the approach. You know, sometimes I see women and he's cute, he's fit, he's so nice, but he's like, I talk myself out of it. And I invoked Mel Robbins. I said, listen, there's something that happens in our brains when we count down, not count up, but 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, what do we think? Blast off, right? And you just start moving in the direction, because by the time you get to 1, you need to be saying something to that person. He was like, wow, that's hardcore. I'm like, but it works. Then your monkey mind is counting down and your monkey mind actually goes to, it can't compete with 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So you just start moving in the direction of who you want to approach. And he had this great story about being in an elevator. And this is what led to making more organic connections the night before. He's like, this woman came into the elevator. You know, I went out to dinner with my parents to celebrate their wedding anniversary. And of course, he's a single doctor. So his mom brought him his favorite food at the restaurant to take home, like Tupperware containers of homemade stuff. And so this girl walks into the elevator and she says to him, she's like, oh, what's that? And so, or he said hi first. That was the key. She walks into the elevator. He said, hi. I'm like, hi was your clutch move, because she's like, hi, what's in the Tupperware? And this is a 35 second exchange. And at the end of the 40 second ride, he got her name. He got the floor she lived on because they live in the same building. He's like, I'm not super interested in her. I'm like, first of all, it's 40 freaking seconds. How could you be super interested in her besides something lustful at that point? Right. And now in retrospect, he was like, oh, I could have said this. She says, oh, I've been out with my friend since 4:30. Like, you know, we were grabbing drinks and he's like, I could have said if I wanted to, which I really didn't. Wow. Maybe we should grab a drink now and keep the night going. He's like, but I wanted to go work out. I'm like, good on you for not continuing the night. So, but it's funny. And then it's like, how do I make organic connections? I'm like, good. I want you to applaud yourself for having said hi in the elevator. So often we're like, oh, it's weird if I talk to someone. It's not weird. People, we're humans. We want to be engaged. I'm not saying you have to say hi to someone in an elevator where there's 15 people, but if it's you and one other person, it's weird not to say hi. Do you feel me on this?
100%. And like even eye contact. I mean, there's sometimes where you don't want to say hi to the person and that's like totally okay. But if you're feeling it, lift up your eyes and say hello.
Yeah, exactly. Just say hi and you can look away if you don't want to engage with the person, right?
And well, you're only on the elevator for a couple seconds. So that's it.
Right. You know, for them, they were going to like the 36th floor. So they had like 35, 36 seconds, but you could get a lot done in that time, as you see.
Well, and you give what you get out, right? Like if we are closed and not open and scared to say hello and scared to look at someone in the eyes and have that energy, then it means like, don't talk, you know, I don't want to talk to you and I'm scared. You know, when you go on the airplane, you know, and you don't want to talk to people, it's like, we do all of these things to say in our body language, like, do not talk to me. Don't ask me any questions. It's the same thing in life. You know, when you go into a store, you go to Starbucks, get in the elevator, it's like, I have to ask yourself, like, what do you want to put out in the world today? Do you want more of a connection? Or do you want to stay a little more solitude today? Cause your lack of energy, and you need a little more to yourself. But I mean, if you're trying to date and get to know people, like I'm like, smile and say hello, because you never know where that's going to go.
Turn your cab light on, people, right? Yeah. It's like a taxi. If the light's not on, you're not trying to hail it. If the light's on, you're like, oh, that taxi's available. If you want your cab light to be on as a human being, and this isn't just if you're single, right? If you want to engage with people, look up, smile at people, say something nice, be socially generous. Compliment somebody, try to connect with them. Like, wow, Jenny, that's so interesting. You have this book about Italy. It's my favorite country in the world. Are you going? Start a conversation. It's so easy. If you want to engage, be engaging.
Right. But you go, I mean, it also goes back to like, what other things are you looking for in your life? Like if you are looking to date, then you do have to show up a little differently. If you are looking to make, just move to a suburb, like really close to Chicago, and I'm making new friends. And in order, it's kind of like dating, actually, to be totally honest. Like,
totally.
I have to like, when I look, when I go to the gym, I look and say hello to people and I even ask how they're doing. When I go to the grocery store, I run into somebody that I was introduced to. I go up there and say, oh, hi, I'm Jenny. I met you through so-and-so. And it's awkward and tiring at times. And I keep having to do it because one of my
goals, a new person.
I want to make more friends and I want to be a part of a community. So in order to do that, I have to put myself out there. I mean, when I met you, like I invited you guys over for dinner and I remember being really nervous about it. I said, this is a little bit outside my comfort zone. Just do it. You have nothing to lose. And so I will say, and that was a really good move. And I think when we're scared, you go there first. When there's a little bit of nerve and a little bit of scare, then that is true growth and you can't overthink it, think it. And that's when you just do it. There's a lot of if you are overthinking something and you are trying to figure out how to quote unquote, how do I do this? What do I need to do? That translates into monkey mind or our ego mind. And that is when we need to then move into action. That is when you say hello in the elevator. That's when you wake up and you don't snooze. That's when you apply for the other job. That's when you get off your phone because my limit's been up. So it's really, really important to get out of the overthinking. Because then it's analysis paralysis, which we all have had.
That's so true. And, you know, I'm going to recap some of your top five mindset hacks, because I think we've touched on them. But dear listener, get your pen out and write these down. Number one, decide and repeat a new story. Okay. Do you have something you want to tell us about that? And you say mantras and then write it down.
So like, yes. So decide on what your new story is. So when you audit, when you're auditing your thoughts and you're distilling it down to one or two things, I want you to, it could be the thought that you wanted, they're typically not. And I want you then to choose a thought that you really want. So I know that one of the things I've always really wanted was to have this sort of inner peace and feeling grounded and confident in what I'm doing. So like, I'm constantly reminding myself, like, I trust myself and I can do it. I trust myself. So I repeat these mantras over and over and over again, because it just opposes the limiting belief or the fear. Like, you're really going to say hi to that person? You're really going to say, you know, so choose a mantra or choose a thought that's an abundant belief or an abundant story. Because again, like we talked at the top of the hour, so many of our stories are ridiculous. They're just ridiculous and they're not true. But we choose to believe them until we decide not to believe them and replace that story with a new story. You can decide to be anything or anybody you want. You can decide to have anything you want, and you have to see it before it, you have to see it to believe it. You know, a picture is only as dark as you paint it. If you look at a picture, you might look at it totally differently than I do. I might see a big bright colors and someone else might come there and say, oh, I see just darkness and holes. Maybe they have had a bad day. Maybe I've had a really good day. So you do have to pick a thought, and it could be a feeling. It could be a thing. I really want to fall in love. I really want to have a true partnership. I really want to feel peace each day.
Sage. And your second hack is play music. And I love that. And we talked a little bit about the playlist. And one thing that I make sure that I always do is I have an upbeat playlist. Yeah. I am not, and look, anybody can battle me and refute me, but I tell people, when you're feeling sad, don't sit around and listen to sad sack music all the time to feel your feelings. It's like, if you're feeling sad and you don't want to be, turn on happy music. Have a happy playlist at all times that just gets you motivated, puts a pep in your step, maybe reminds you of good times that you've had and makes you look forward to good times that you're going to have.
Absolutely. So our senses, you know, when you can think of a song that you used to love, like, you know, years ago. I mean, like that Wham, like Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. Like, I remember, I'm totally dating myself, for those of you who are not in the 50, or, you know, late 40s, 50. I remember feeling so great about that New Order, that one song. Like, I remember feeling amazing.
Bizarre Love Triangle.
Yeah, thank you. Bizarre Love Triangle. You know, like Jesse's Girl, right?
Oh.
Like, come on. And like, you know, Van Halen. There are moments that you can just know, you put that on, you have to feel good. So I really am. Yeah, music's great. Pick some favorite jams, put it on your Spotify, put it on when you're getting ready. Again, it counteracts our monkey thinking brain. Again, that is an action. That's like exactly what I want people to do. You're overthinking, play some music.
Yeah. Or
number three, go outside and take a walk. Move your body. Even if you're like, if you, you know, a lot of us work from home now and have these hybrid workspaces, and don't sit down all day long. Get up and take your phone call with the earbuds, walk around your house, walk around the block, walk around, do some stairs, just walk around your office. But movement is really, really important because it disrupts our mind. It just disrupts those, the overanalyzing our thoughts.
I love it.
Changing the senses, like the ear, you know, changing senses by music and movement. It's so important. And again, it's so easy, right? It's like, did you really need me to tell you that? Yes and no, right? But you do, we all know that. We just forget these small, super easy hacks. Like, if this is not complicated, not complicated.
No, our lifestyles. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is not complicated.
It's not complicated. It's simple. And yet sometimes it's so simple that we forget that we have agency to do these things, to go out and to take a walk. Everyone, oh my God, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. You know what? You can make the time. Remember, if you want to feel peaceful, if you want to feel happy, if you want to get fitter, all of the things that you alluded to, what do you want? Then you have the power to put little things into your day to help you get there. And when you commit to, I want to feel something, and you start doing steps, you start to feel better. Why? Because you are keeping promises to the most important person in your life, and that is yourself.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have integrity then, full integrity with yourself. If you can't keep your promises to yourself, who can you keep them to?
Yeah. And I mean, the overwhelm, it's funny. I mean, I bet everybody who's listening, a state of overwhelm is just another state. It's also an avoidance technique. You know, workaholics is a real thing. Being overly busy is also a thing. We feel, especially in America, like, oh, I have to be so busy and my kids have to all these things and I'm so busy. It's just a state of mind though. So that's when I say, like, choose three things that you really want. Write down five things you want to get done today, and the three must do. The other two can wait. Or if you have that time in today, great. But then it allows you to play the music, allows you to go for the walk, allows you to actually have a mindful meal. Don't eat at your desk, go downstairs, make some food, have food be something positive that you enjoy. But when we're overly scheduled and overly to-do'd on our planners and in our phones and calendars, we just, you know, again, it just breeds overwhelm. And it also sets us up for failure because we didn't do all the things that we have to do. Again, it goes back to, how do you want to feel at the end of the day? And how do you want to feel during your day? Do you want to have breaks? Do you want to feel more mindful? Do you want to feel more peace? In order to do that, you have to go back to the stop doing and the start doing. Create more breaks in your day. And have a stop and a start. You know, have a stop and a start time to your day, especially if you work at home.
Yeah, absolutely. And if your list looks like mine, where you have a company you're running and you have 15 must-dos, that's okay. And don't get overwhelmed or feel bad about that, because that's a choice I've made. So I can hear you say pick three or five must-dos, and I'm like looking at my list going, I have to do every single one of these things today. That's fine, but make space in my day to find things that bring me joy, and then sit back in gratitude for saying, I'm so grateful that I get to do the work I do, which is supporting people through their love journey. Right.
That's right.
And so,
go ahead.
Yeah. And so that, as you were saying that, I was thinking to myself, haha, there's a whole bunch here. Like, none of these can wait till tomorrow, but that's okay because I've chosen this life.
Yeah. And there are some days, I mean, there's like, for sure, there are days that I do 15, 20 things and
have to do's
because I have to. But if there's a way to spread those out within 2 or 3 days or even a week. It will feel, you might feel more accomplished and less stressed at the end of the day, and you feel good about what you've done. Again, not saying like that's your, you have to have that every single day. There are days like you just described that you have to get these things done. And then the other piece that we didn't mention is that, are there things that can be outsourced? Can you ask for help for the things that you can't stand doing?
Oh, amen. Preach. And I'm going to transition to your fourth one, which was don't listen to others. And I think we beat that one dead. And if you are going to listen to people that will help you to elevate yourself, that want to walk with you on the journey of getting what you want over the next 3, 6, or 12 months. And if you have the naysayers, certainly don't listen to them and don't seek out so much counsel from people.
That's right.
Nobody can tell you what's right for you. You know. And if you need somebody to confirm that, talk to your therapist, talk to your coach, or talk to that person who will tell you, hell yeah, you can do that. Go do that. And I'm right here for you tonight if you need to vent about it or tell me what happened. Those are the people that you confide in, but only listen to people, mainly listen to yourself and to people that will support you.
That's right. And if you are wobbly about your decision, if you are actually unsure of your decision, don't ask the people that you know don't believe in you or who are like, who are risk averse. You know, a lot of our friend people can be risk averse. Those are the people I don't ask their advice or even suggestion until well after the fact. I'm like, you'll never know what I'm doing. It's so amazing. This is what I'm doing. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay.
Good for you. Wow. Okay. Great.
Right. But telling them after you've decided to do it. You know?
Yes. And your last tip is something I love. Follow your gut. Is it a hell yes or a hell no?
Again, like so easy. Again, I believe in taking moments in the morning and moments throughout the day just to listen. And it could just be looking outside and noticing, again, senses, like noticing what you're noticing, but also just taking a minute, like a minute to find out what your gut and what your intuition is telling us. Intuition and our gut feeling is our best friend. And we often dismiss it because we think outside what an outside person should tell us how to do something or what to say or what to buy or what to do or be. But our intuition is such an easy access channel to what you want. And so, but it does require to take a moment to understand that and to listen to it. So listen to it. And again, it's so easy. It either will feel like it's a go or it will feel like it's a no. And if it feels icky, if it feels like I'm not sure, I say, when in doubt, go without. When in doubt, go without. But if it's a yes and it's a little scary, like the person in the elevator who was like, should I say hello? Then it's like, that's a yes and take action upon that. So again, so easy, you know, just quiet yourself enough to ask yourself what you want. And does it feel really good? Does it feel really scary? Does it feel really bad? If it feels scary and good, go, 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 go.
And sometimes
I bet if you ask yourself or anybody who's listening, what were some of the things I did in my life that were scary and that I feel so good about? You know, I know that I had a couple of learning disabilities that were undiagnosed in high school because in the 80s and 90s, we didn't talk about ADHD or just dyslexia. And when I got to college, I was like, my brain is different. I know I learn differently. Can someone test me? Sure enough. And I was like, okay, mom and dad, not like in your face, but like, thank you. Oh my God, my brain works differently. When I told my family and friends I was going to grad school 6 years later to be a therapist, they were like, wait a minute. You hated school. You worked so hard and you barely made B's or C's. Are you crazy? And I was like, oh my God. So I did it. You know, I've changed careers at the, you know, late 20s and people were like, are you really going to do it? You're going to leave sports and fitness. Well, yes. So like you have to look back at yourself and say, what are some of those things I did? I believed in myself to do it. Everyone has them. No one out there doesn't have them. So remind yourself that you did that. So what's to say you can't do something like that again and or different or better?
That's great. And I love that. Let's everybody make a list today of the things that once scared you that you did and now are either second nature to you or you're really proud of and became inflection points for you to put you in the direction where you are now.
That's right. Because it's like riding a bike. If you knew how, if you learned how to ride a bike, i.e. me going to grad school, changing careers, leaving a marriage, falling in love. If I know that I did it back then, it doesn't, it means I can do it again. And every person listening has 3, 4, 5 things that they've done that they can translate into finding love, starting over, whatever you're doing, you know, you can do it.
But it was scary and you did it.
Yes, you can do it. And it just took a little bit of faith and belief and a little bit of discomfort. We have to be able to tolerate distress. We have to be able to just, you know, tolerate a little bit uncomfortable. Yes. Is that a word? We have to feel a little bit uncomfortable. That's totally okay.
That's okay.
Totally
right?
Okay.
That's okay. Jenny, where can people get more Jenny?
Oh my gosh. Where can you get me more? JennyStevensCoach.com or on Instagram, JennyStevensCoach. And it's been a pleasure. I love you, Bella. You are awesome. And thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're the best. And smart daters, I hope this motivated you to create change in your own life. And if it did, shoot me a note on my email. Write us a review. Tell us what you changed. Tell us that inflection point for you. What were you scared of? Tell us how this episode inspired you. We're the, I call us the little dating podcast that could. We're now in the top 1% of all dating podcasts globally. So write us a review. Make sure that we can keep doing this for another year. So with that, I bid you farewell. Jenny, thank you again. And I wish you all a week of psychotic love, optimism, and getting every damn thing that you want. Until next week, adieu. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.